This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good afternoon. My name is Leonard Sands.
And I am Debbie Deal.
And welcome to Nailed It on 96.9 FM, streaming live all across the Bahamas. Debbie, you want to take it away?
Yes, let's do some housekeeping right now because we want to hear from you today. We need to hear your stories just like you need to hear our stories. So, putting on my glasses, we are streaming live audio and video on Guardian. talkradio.com. You can listen to us on TV on Cable Bahamas channel 969 or BTC Flow channel 612. You can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You could text us on Guardian Radio text line 422-GR96 or 422-4796 for people like me that can't figure out what the GR is, powered by BTC, standard text rate applies. And you could call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. Calling toll-free from the Family Islands at 242-300-5720.
All right, so today we're very pleased to have another guest in the studio, and for the purposes of making sure that we do not call her by a nickname, we're going to go with her professional name, was Alexandria. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And we're great to have you here. So let me lead into this conversation that should be a major conversation about construction and residential. We're going to stick in residential for most part. There are times in your life when you think that you've thought about everything in building your home. You know, you pick out the right windows, the right color, you designed every room appropriately, crown moldings, you love everything looks and sets. And then you get into living in the house and you realize, I don't have enough space. I thought I had enough space. I've been living here for a couple of months. I got garments I like. I got stuff that I've collected. And all of a sudden, I don't have enough space. It's a common challenge that everyone, and I mean everyone, faces, whether you're a professional, whether you're just a stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home dad, a busy person who runs a mechanic shop and works from home and needs to collect and store things or what's not, just living in general, or you have kids, you don't have kids, you would run out of space. One of the ways you could reduce those nuisances of not having enough space is probably speaking with a design professional. So today we have Alexandra here from Closets, etc., who is going to help us talk about ways to optimize every space in your home, because we believe that a part of construction has to be a relationship with our design professionals, whether it's architects, interior designers, and persons who could add value to your living space. So let me give you a scenario. So Alexandra, you walk into a space, great space, beautiful space, you realize there's him and her closets, all that is good, but you go downstairs, great kitchen, broom standing up in the corner.
ironing board beside the refrigerator.
There's a couple of boxes of $400 wines stacked up in the corner. There's probably some large
golf clubs.
Maybe golf clubs, uh-huh. Some large bulk containers of rice, beans, food stuff. What did you notice they didn't have?
They don't have a pantry.
They don't have a pantry. Now, for all, I'm not the closet professional, so you got to lead us into what is the purpose of a pantry?
Well, the biggest thing for a pantry is your bulk items, as you mentioned, right? You talked about a box of wine or big bags of rice and stuff. Mm-hmm. A lot of us buy in bulk because it can be cheaper, especially if you have children and family. So children, you want to buy all of their snacks in bulk, so it's easier. And your cupboards,
they're not designed for those
big bulk items. Yeah. They're really designed for smaller, you know, the everyday, you know, couple cans, couple boxes, or whatever the case is. So really and truly, when you have a pantry, this is where you can then either put the bulk items on shelves and in the way that they've come from the store, or you can get even more organized and buy containers like baskets and put all of your specific items in each basket, stack them and things like that, so that you have, you know, when you're in, when you're looking for them, you know exactly where you're going and you don't have to worry about opening a box and all that stuff. Now, at the same time, you mentioned a broom and an ironing board.
Yeah, but in the kitchen.
I really wouldn't put that in my pantry or in my kitchen, depending on the size of that pantry. Because if the pantry is very large, then I could have a section that has my mop and broom hook.
That's a broom closet.
And it's further away from my food. But if I don't have a large pantry, then you kind of really want a utility closet or a cabinet in your kitchen, a tall cabinet in your kitchen that has that space for that ironing board or that, well, I wouldn't still put an ironing board in my kitchen. But still, if you don't have a laundry room, you might have to have it in your kitchen. But at least if you have a tall utility cabinet that you can have your mop and broom hook in there, so they're hooking onto the wall of the cabinet, you're not putting them on the floor. Or in the cabinet itself, then that space is now open to now put the bucket at the bottom. You might even be able to hang up the ironing board on the side and then the iron. And so now you've maximized that little cabinet.
Right. So let me interject
just for one second?
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
All right. So that's good for if you have the space or if you have the rooms already there, like the space for the pantry and all that kind of stuff. But what you have to do is, and I'm speaking to, let's say a single woman who is going to build her own house, just as an example, because she probably has no idea when she's looking at her plan what is missing, right? And what needs to be on there, and what might it not be in the right place.
Correct.
And what happens is you end up with either no storage or closets that are built huge with tiny little doors so you can't get to anything. And so these are things that, when you are going to renovate or when you are going to build, you need to make sure that whoever has drawn that plan for you has taken into consideration how you're going to live your life, because you're not going to live your life out of one closet and one kitchen.
And that's what I wanted to get into. So let's roll this back 50 years. I could remember, you know, I grew up on this side of town, very, very close to where we are right now, but I remember traveling with my grandmother, whether it was the Eastern Road or Life Key, those areas, because she was a housekeeper. And houses 50 years ago always had pantries. Now let's go forward to 2024. If you look at maybe 1,000 plans in our community right now of the Bahamas, very few houses have pantries.
I can tell you why. Because the pantry has moved out of being an actual closet and a room. We're not the new style or the new design of how you're going to be creating your kitchen is now not to have a room that's a pantry all the time. Now you're building your cabinetry to be your pantry. So now I'm having a 3-foot, let's say, cabinet on the side of my refrigerator that has two doors that opens up, and now I have got pull-out shelving.
That's what I have.
And my pull-out shelving is my pantry where all of my items can be kept.
That's what I have.
And so I think the modern design
has reduced
it to maybe we don't need a room for a pantry. Probably. So now when you're dealing with your kitchen designers, that's where you need to make sure that your kitchen designer is accounting for that. I don't have a pantry in my home built wise as a closet. So I now need to make sure that my kitchen design accommodates my pantry item. Also, in the higher end homes, where they're still doing the butler's pantry, or actual pantries that are rooms, and they're hidden behind doors that look like a kitchen cabinet. Right? Okay. So, at the end of the day, that's kind of where I think the design aspect and the architects have changed.
And also, back in the day, they didn't have huge islands in the center of the kitchen either. So now, if you're in your kitchen And if you had to go to a separate room to get something out of the pantry, you'd start keeping it into the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why now that the pantry is built into the actual cabinet so that you don't actually have to leave that space.
So let's break it down more for... Okay, we've talked about the persons who had the pantry, who could afford that. Mm-hmm. We've talked about persons who could afford the kitchen design consultant to ensure that's incorporated into their design bill. Let's talk about now, we have the intention to build at least 1,000 more homes provided by the state, right? Low-cost homes. Mm-hmm. They're not really low-cost, but they're less than higher cost. They have the standard kitchen in a row. Everyone have the same kitchen. Let's talk about what kind of solutions could be achieved in a space where necessarily didn't have the foresight to have a pantry because of budget constraints. You don't have the space. The cabinet's already designed in, but you get called in into a typical government house project, 3-bed, 2-bath, carport, that's a standard design, kitchen's 10 by 12. How do you find a solution for A, some type of pantry space in that configuration that's already set?
Well, that all depends. I would probably do a big walkthrough of the entire house to mm-hmm. see where there are other areas that could be utilized for certain things. But at the end of the day, I may have to look into their kitchen cabinets and decide, okay, well, there's a cabinet here that we could maybe do pull-out shelves where mm-hmm. you could store certain items. Or I might have to give them, basically because I also have... I'm certified as a professional organizer. Mm-hmm. I sometimes will also just look at that aspect of my job, which is finding the space you already have and how do I utilize it, right?
Because not necessarily you're saying that in certain scenarios, you may not be able to add to a space, but look at the space you currently have
and how can we maximize what we currently have. Okay. And add items or add things that mm-hmm. can help you do, you know, produce more storage or have more storage in this particular space.
What about a laundry room? Generally, the government homes actually have a laundry room as well.
Well, actually, I was answering his question, but I was also going to say that I've been in a few of the government homes, neighborhoods that they've mm-hmm. been building, and they do have pantries. Mind you, the last one I just went into, it's 2 feet wide and 2 feet deep, but it has a, you know, the standard size door opening, but mm-hmm. the ceiling's 8 feet tall, and then they have their kitchen and the kitchen is open. So they have a pantry space.
Okay, they have the pantry space.
Obviously it's empty, right? Mm-hmm. So now they do need someone to come and put shelving in it and maximize that
small 2x2 space.
Correct. And a lot of the times I do tell people, the cheapest way to get shelving is obviously just to put the shelf there on, you know, they put the piece of wood, they put the piece of wood, they put the piece of wood, mm-hmm. they stick the shelf on. But it's a fixed shelf.
Yes.
That shelf cannot move.
No.
What ends up happening is they put four of those in there, and mm-hmm. what you're now doing is you're stacking 6 million items on top of each other and mm-hmm. in front of each other and behind each other, and now it ends up still being just as chaotic as it was when it was probably just empty.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always try to recommend that adjustable shelving should always be placed in a place where you need to have the flexibility of the size of your objects. Cans are only 4 to 5 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need
12
or
space.
16 inches worth of space.
For
otherwise,
cans.
You're going to end up wasting your space. So mm-hmm. you could have three...
Except for the wine. Oh, sorry.
Yes. And then you need bigger... But then you need bigger items mm-hmm. because your box of cereal or your... sometimes
your
flour or your paper towel
or your Kleenex,
your wine, you know, your alcohol, anything. All of those items are going to fluctuate, right? A bottle of alcohol is 16 inches tall. So if it's 16 inches tall, you need now a shelf that's going to be at least.
But that's interesting. You mentioned that. How many homeowners would know?
I don't think the size
of things that go into their.
I don't think they would.
Cupboards. They don't know.
I know the size of all of my items.
So how do you get an opportunity to interface with them so that before they make those kind of decisions, they can have an opportunity to be educated? Where's that?
So I guess with me, once they contact me to tell me they have a space that needs help,
mm-hmm.
when I come in, I ask them, what are you going to put in this space? Before I do anything, I always want to know, what are you going to store into this space? They tell me what they're going to store. And then I'll explain to them. I tell them all the time. So if they tell me it's a pantry and they want to store their extra bottles of water, well, what bottles of water do you buy? Are you talking about your 5-gallon water bottles? Mm-hmm. Are you talking about gallon size Acupure bottles? Are you talking about the taller Fiji or Echo, blue water bottles? And then they'll say, oh, okay, I buy this one. And I'll say, okay, well, that one's 17 inches tall. And I use my tape measure. I always let people visualize because...
What's 17 inches is?
And I show, you know, and I said, well, this is what this would be. I said, but then I show them, I go, a can is only this big. So this is your cans, you know. And I explain to them why this is why you need this size shelf and this size shelf and then the flexibility.
And that's a great information, you know, the challenge. So in your home building or buying process, where does that's huge information, but where does that information come from? Where do you get an opportunity to share that information to persons who may not know? And if they had an opportunity to know that, would probably make different choices before their contractor, you know, really gets.
Well, there's this really new radio show, and it's called Nailed It. That's exactly where I would go. Listen every Thursday.
So it's these kind of conversations that we're trying to have with the community, so they understand that, okay, you don't have to go into a whole home building process not knowing anything.
Right.
And even if you don't know enough about it, there are things you can learn. And there are things that I think sometimes we believe that you have to have a lot of money to get a lot out of your space. I think sometimes all you have to do is have the right information.
That's
to how
correct.
To maximize. Now, what was interesting, I thought you said, is you're also a professional
organizer.
What does that mean in the context of you going into a house, they can't move anything around, but they have opportunities to? How does a professional organizer address that situation?
So as a professional organizer, when I come into a space, I'm coming into the space to try to organize you. And the way I'm organizing you is either I'm finding homes, creative solutions, finding homes for the items that you currently have, or I'm there now to, I wouldn't say teach, but it is teach. Mm-hmm. I'm now here to teach you and help you downsize, downgrade, remove, right? Because we technically were already having this conversation.
Yeah.
We have a lot of people that keep things for the just in case one day. You don't need the just in case because of one day. If we kept the just in case because of one day, then you might as well go and buy a storage unit and live in it. Because we're not supposed to, our homes are not supposed to be storage spaces.
No.
They are supposed to be our homes. They're living spaces. It's where we're supposed to live. And so what I'm there to do is sometimes I'm there to, it's not going to be a nice situation sometimes because I might be sitting there and looking at you and saying, oh no. What we're going to have to do is we're going to have to eliminate this by half. And sometimes it's hard because some people are really hard, you know, not sentimental, but they don't want to give up or let go. And so then my process is actually trying to explain to you why you need to let go and also asking you, why are we keeping it?
Why are you keeping it? And I think sometimes for us too, you know, when we look at it from contractors, let's talk from the contracting aspect. One of the difficulties we have is trying to explain to persons, okay, I have this closet space and it's going to be a walk-in closet and the space is 3x4. I'm like, it can be a walk-in closet. It's very limited in terms of space.
That's a reach in.
Yeah.
Or that's a step in, step out.
It's very small, but they don't know because they don't have an appreciation of size. And sometimes they don't have the benefit, like in Debbie said outside, of having a professional architect design their homes. So technicians do the best they can and giving you what they believe your dollar value could afford. However, I believe there's opportunities for there to be more relationships with persons like yourself who could say, okay, I know you're on a limited budget. I know this house is only going to be 1,800 to 2,000 square feet. It's not a small house. It's not a giant house either, right? Let's look at the closets. Can we have an intimate conversation with the closets and talk to the homeowners? How do you function in your space? What do you need? Do you go out a lot? Do you do cocktails? Because then if you know someone goes to every single society function, they need spaces for ball gowns. Yes. You know what typical closets don't consider? Dresses that women wear that goes from shoulder to the floor.
Right.
Where are you going to hang them?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They don't consider that. So we're getting into really, really good conversations, but we got to go to a break right now. And before we do, I'd like to plug in and thank our sponsors. We have CBS Bahamas, ART Development, ARM Caribbean, and Closets, etc. So we'll be back after this break.
But it's sick this morning, crack, and they just build this house. Pay now, pay more later.
Your wall crack up. Because I rot in steel.
I guarantee fiber steel, Jack.
No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel. Steel pussy get protection from nasty men. But the sand that they use of salt and lead. And then over time, you start to rotten. And just like a flower wall crack open, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh?
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or 822-9527. Or visit our Facebook and IG page at our development BFRP. Listen, say goodbye to rust and our crack of water. Call now.
No steel, no big deal.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines. Maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about machinery and energy limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches at Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
When your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. I'm Leonard Sands along with Debbie Deal and Alexandra talking about your home and how to optimize your closet space and storage space, and also the added benefit of how to declutter and organize. And let's dive more into organizing a space. We're talking off air about how, you know, a lot of homeowners don't appreciate sometimes the space they have. They either have a complaint that the space is too small, or in most cases, they overcompensate and the space is too large. Talk to us about some of let's give a worst case scenario that you've seen where space was absolutely too large for its intended purpose, and how you came about and found a solution for that. And then the flip side, a space was too small and you was able to come up with a design solution for that.
I'll be honest with you, when it comes to the closets, I haven't had a closet that's been too big. I wouldn't say there's any such thing as a closet that's too big. But at the same time, if it's shared, and if it's somebody like you were talking about, somebody who goes to all of the, you know, balls and stuff and like stuff, that,
yeah.
You know, the space is utilized. But obviously, I made sure that I maximize it. So I don't think I've ever encountered that problem, mm-hmm. right? Now, I have had problems where, not problems, but I have had scenarios where I've walked into a house where they wanted me to come and design the master closet. And mm-hmm. when I go in, it's one closet, somewhat decent size. I mean, I'm going to say it's quite large, but it was still, and this is the hers. And then you go to and then the other door mm-hmm. is
the his side, yeah.
But at the same, but there was a wall in between.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked, well, why are we keeping the wall? Because mm-hmm. now it's going to limit the way I designed this space. Mm-hmm. So when I designed this space, I can now only really use this left wall and this back wall.
Right.
But I can't really use this right wall right mm-hmm. now, because the way your door opens, this is now not being, can't be utilized. Mm-hmm. When I go into the his space, it's the same concept. I can use the right and I can use the back, but I can't use the left because of the wall. Why don't we take this wall down?
Mm-hmm.
I said, since you're already in construction mode,
mm-hmm.
take this wall down. We make it one big, huge master closet.
Mm-hmm.
You still have a his and a her. We still design this side for her, this side for him.
Mm-hmm.
And now we put an island in the middle that you can share.
Mm-hmm.
And
could I put those drawers?
And,
all that
yep,
other stuff.
The drawers and all that stuff. And mm-hmm. obviously they loved it. So mm-hmm. they ended up doing that aspect, right? So that was where I think a large closet, well, a closet that could have been large that was divided for the, you know, the concept of having a his and a her,
and hers, yeah.
but ended up, if I had to design it,
mm-hmm.
you would have gotten less space mm-hmm. than just not having that one little wall. And okay. As much as that one wall may not have seemed like a big, like a big space, because, okay, it's only a 4-inch
yeah,
wall.
But it took away the
it
opportunity.
It still takes the yeah. opportunity away
yeah.
of what you can do with it. Now, when it comes to small,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to small, unfortunately, I see too many small closets.
Yeah.
And not necessarily the fact that they are always small, but sometimes they are not utilized properly.
What is a faux pas for you? And so we could help to educate our consumers here a little better. What is a faux pas for a closet? Give me a tip. Give me the size closet, which you would say you have a 10x10 room, you got a blank wall. Give me a size closet that should be just appropriate for that size space.
Well, I think that all depends on what size doors we're going to do. So let's say we have a 10x10,
mm-hmm.
A 6-foot inside or an 8-foot inside closet. And I say inside. The reason why I'm saying inside is decent.
6-foot.
Yes. 6-foot or 8-foot is
mm-hmm.
fine.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if we're going to do a 6-foot inside closet,
mm-hmm.
then I need you to have at least 4-foot or a 5-foot opening for your doors.
Yeah.
Yes, right? And if you're
going to
have...
What if you have a closet that's okay, you got 6-foot, 8-foot wall-to-wall inside, and then you have a 3.5-foot deep closet?
3-foot, you've basically wasted space. You could have had another 1.5-foot in your bedroom to be a little bigger, because in a standard... So, let's go back. Clothing.
Yeah.
When I hang clothing, a hanger is... Well, the small plastic hangers are 17 to 18 inches.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to go wood or those bigger ones,
yep.
now we're about 18 to 20 inches.
Mm-hmm.
But clothing typically hangs at 22 inches,
mm-hmm.
right? We want to have space behind the clothes and in front of the clothes.
Clothes.
We don't want our clothing to rub against the wall, because that can damage if you have a concrete wall.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you just don't want your clothes rubbing, right? So typically, you need at minimum
24 inches
of space.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, I've been going into too many homes where those reach-in closets are only 22 and 23 inches deep. I'm not sure why. They should not be. 24 to 25 should be the
minimum,
smallest
yeah.
depth
yeah.
that your reach-in closet should be. Now, when we go to that 3 foot size, now you're unfortunately running out a little bit. And the reason why I say running out, I cannot use those side walls once I put clothing on that back wall. Because like I said, they're coming out 22 to 24 inches in depth. I've only got 12 inches. Mm-hmm. While 12 inches can sound big, not really, because you want to stand in front of your clothing to actually see the clothes. Mm-hmm. So if you have a 3 foot closet, you're technically just wasting the 12 inches, unless you really want to make sure that you can really access the clothes. But it's not benefiting you, as in you're not gaining more usage
by having the deeper
closet. So
Debbie, let me go to you. How do you find, in your experience, you're doing a renovation for a client. You started already. Now you're looking around at the space, you take some measurements, and you realize, this space doesn't work, the closets don't work. What is your response? How do you tastefully kind of talk to your client and give them a suggestion that may not blow back inside your face for suggesting something that, mind you, they already had somebody design the space perfectly?
Well, back in 2007, I think, or 2000, yeah, maybe 2007, built a house in Seabreeze, a two-story house, mm-hmm. Three-bedroom upstairs, and living room, dining room, kitchen, laundry mm-hmm. downstairs. But it was a very tiny design. Mm-hmm. So the master bedroom was only 10 by 10, just like you said.
In this big house.
So the door opens in, obviously. So mm-hmm. we had about 8, maybe 7.5 feet, because the 30-inch door mm-hmm. and the frame, right? And so what we did is, instead of having the bifold doors, mm-hmm. we did bypass doors mm-hmm. with mirrors on them. Mm-hmm. And we were actually able to utilize that closet because we didn't have a reach-in closet. Normally, what you'd get on a plan is it would be like an 8-foot closet mm-hmm. and it would have a 4-foot bifold doors,
which
means you can't get on either side of anything. Mm-hmm. So what we did is we just had that entire space. We just did a wall and a wall, and we had that entire space. And it was a his and hers, same thing as what Alexander was talking about. But we were able to make it work because you didn't have the door sticking out, and you were able to see everything, and you had your mirrors.
Let me ask you a question, because mm-hmm. I see that in some of the designs, for a time, past 15 years or so, we moved away from bypass doors to bifold doors. Mm-hmm. In your experience, what do you find works the best for closets, bypass or bifold?
It's going to be depending on the closet itself. So not every single closet is there a better door for it, right, mm-hmm. or room. And the reason why I say that is if you have bypass doors, it's going to limit what I can and cannot do in that closet, mm-hmm. Depending on the opening, right?
But one side is going to stack somewhere.
Correct.
It's going to stack.
In her 10-foot one, mm-hmm. if the entire thing is 10 feet mm-hmm. and you've got multiple doors and they're moving in different directions, mm-hmm. you would have a lot more
opportunity to
do design-wise, mm-hmm. Putting drawers and things like that, you could probably mm-hmm. do, because at the end of the day, the doors can move in multiple different places mm-hmm. because the space is so wide. If I only have a 4-foot opening, or I only have a 6-foot opening, this is where it limits what I can do to your design. Because now I only got 2-door panels, that's and it. It's either going left or right, which means in the middle, I can't put drawers and shelving. If I put drawers and shelving on the right side or left side, it's going to be silly, because what's going to end up really happening is I'm probably going to have like a foot of space I can't use, because the drawers have to be somewhere where it has to be in the opening.
Yeah.
So what really ends up happening is, in a space like that, I can't do drawers at all.
You'll have to only do hanging.
You would only be able to do hanging or shelving, shoe shelving, adjustable shelving, hanging, and things like that. So that limits it. But if you had the bifold, mm-hmm. I can do anything your heart desires to a certain extent, because I have that entire opening and I can put the drawers in the middle with the shelving above, and I can do all these things. So basically, I don't think there's a right or wrong type of door. I don't think there's a door that works better for any particular closet. I think it depends on your size, your opening, and your particular closet.
Mm-hmm. So I know we were talking off here, and you'd mentioned something that was interesting. You are in a typical house, doors are 6'8", but you have a ceiling height inside that, whether it's a linen closet, pantry closet, mm-hmm. or your bedroom closet, of 8 feet, 9 feet. How are persons more, or do you find that persons are more interested now using that space that's above their their rod height for storage if they could access the space. Because, if you have a 6'8" door, doesn't matter if you have a 9-foot ceiling, if you only got reach in space, you can't get to the stuff above there.
Well, I may not be fully in, construction is still a part of what I do because I still build, right? Mm-hmm. It's still carpentry. But I'm opening closets all the time. Really? I'm opening openings all the time. I'm opening openings when you have a 10-foot closet on the inside, but I only have a 5-foot opening. Why? Why do I only have a 5-foot opening for a 10-foot closet? Mm-hmm. I'm constantly, telling my clients, okay, well, this isn't going to work. Let me explain why. You've got 2.5 feet here and 2.5 feet here. You can't access it. This is a sheetrock wall. This is what we're going to do. We're going to cut this open, and we're going to give you a wider opening. Then let me show you the design I can give you. Mm. And I'll show them two different designs. With you keeping it this way, this is what I can provide you with. Mm-hmm. By the way, you won't be able to access probably this very easily or this very easily, but this is what I can give you. Or we can open it up, and now here's the design I can give you. And they're willing to do it. Some, not all, because some people aren't really interested in having a renovation done where they know, I got to open up this wall, right? And it's messy.
Yeah.
I just did a client in Blair, and normal 8-foot, is it 8-foot or 9? But anyway, either way, 8 or 9-foot inside wall, closet. Yeah, closet space. They did have the typical 6'8", mm-hmm. and then they had the back in the day closet. And I'm going to say back in the day. You know when they used to build the cabinetry above the closet,
mm-hmm.
where you had the doors,
mm-hmm.
and you put your stuff up there?
The cupboards above.
Yes. So they had that. But then that meant that their ceiling, or what they were having as a ceiling, which was where the cabinets were stopping, mm-hmm. that was only the same 6'8". My top shelf goes at 7 feet. If you want your hanging, if you want double hanging, you need 40 inches per rod. So if I need 40 inches and I need 40 inches, my minimum is 80 inches. So that isn't going to work. I said, well, let's do this. You have 10-foot ceilings. We're going to knock all of this out. We're going to extend up. I'm going to give you a header, and I'm going to get you 8-foot doors. You can't buy 8-foot doors in Nassau. That's fine. Well, actually, I lied to you.
Kelly.
Your sponsor, CBS. Yeah. They do not provide them as in keep them in stock, but CBS will order them. And the reason why? CBS ordered mine. I did go online to look for eight-foot doors, but then I remembered, hold on, I have a friend who works at CBS, and I messaged them. I said, you don't happen to sell 8-foot doors. No, but I can order them. What? Send those pictures to me. So he sent the pictures to me. I emailed them to the clients, and we brought them in, and they brought them in. And so then now they have an 8-foot opening. Mm-hmm. So now their closets, actually, I didn't do the 7-foot. I went 8 feet. Mm-hmm. And so now they have extra storage above, and then they have the extra storage above, and they can access it freely. And so that maximizes your space too, because you always want to use your vertical, not just your horizontal.
So now you've got room above for winter clothes if you're a traveler or luggage or
so with
all that stuff.
These are
as
kids.
Well.
This is a kid's closet. So what we ended up doing, and it's a shared closet. So what we did was I split it in half, double hanging on the left side for one boy, double hanging on the other side for the other boy. We did shoe shelving all in the middle. Mm-hmm. And then their little piece above their hanging, that's between the 7-foot and the 8-foot, they ended up putting like the folded sweaters and things that they don't use every day. And then their pillows and extra stuff at the very top.
You know, one of the, you just mentioned something that I don't think we had a consideration for at all when we think about just typical residential closet design for an average home. And I want to keep the conversation about the average home because we got more of the persons who have average homes here than the persons who got the extravagant homes, right? We start by, you're 5-foot doors. They're accessible. They're great. And you got a typical 3-bed, 2-bath home. But you know what I realize as you go in those homes to do renovations? They never consider shoes. They don't consider children's shoes. They don't consider adult shoes.
No, you're absolutely correct. Well, your typical... So majority of your homes I'm going into, which is the regular basic...
Yeah, the regular people.
Shelf and a rod.
Yeah, shelf and a rod.
Really and truly...
Where do you want to put shoes?
What people do, and then the shoes are on the ground.
At the bottom,
now,
at the closet, underneath your
And then you're mopping them.
But back in the day, They used to have that. They used to do like
the slanted base with
the slanted base with the little thing for the rail shoe. On it for your shoes, so the same closet I just did, I had to rip that out.
Really?
Yeah, I ripped that out to put mine because I want to make sure. Yeah, because that didn't make no sense. Yeah. But your typical is the shelf and the rod, and then sometimes you are going into homes where they've been given a little bit more, but it's still not what you really need to maximize the space. Either they've bought some pre-bought or pre-made, prefabricated shelving unit that you can buy in a box and you can put it together, or you're buying it from IKEA and it's not going to work.
It doesn't make sense for the space.
Yeah, and it's still not really functioning for their space. Or they're using the ventilated shelving, which is, again, the same concept as the shelf and the rod. So basically when I'm going in there, it's, okay, this is what we're really going to do. One, shoes should always have a home. Your shoes should never be on the floor.
I totally agree.
You know, have respect for our shoes.
But that's great, but again, we go back to, for the average person, when would they have had an opportunity to know that they should consider where they put the shoes?
I think nowadays, I would say years ago, many years ago, because my business has taken a long time to get to where it is, mainly because of the same thing, lack of knowledge, lack of knowing that you can do more than just the shelf and the rod in the closet, right? But I think with HGTV and DIY and home edit because of Netflix and... what's the other one? Fixer Upper.
Yeah, Fixer and Upper. Flip like, This House, all those
All
stuff.
Of these things, those shows, not all of them, but some of those shows, of those shows are showing closets, right? A lot of people are on Instagram and they're on all these social media platforms.
Even Google. Even Google, you can you can Google closets. And
but nobody's, I don't mean you having to find these things. How can these people, how is it coming to them? If you're on Instagram, social media, it's popping up, you know? The social media and the TV are the things that you're seeing the most often. And I'm telling you, you're seeing people, seeing closets. You're seeing the companies advertise all of those things and organization and things like that. And even design, a lot of these people, when they're building their homes, I wouldn't say have more suggestions now to the designers and the contractors and the architects because they're, you know, you've got Pinterest.
Oh, and Pinterest is just a treasure trove.
I love Pinterest, but I'm addicted to it a little bit.
But then let's talk about how do we get to, and Debbie could lead it with this, how do we get to a space where in 2024 you could get a house design, person give you a set of plans for a nice home, let me say nice, over 3,500 square foot, nice gated community, and you still don't see any closet designs in none of the drawing packages. How do we still get there in 2024?
You know what? I don't want this to sound sexist, but I think most architects are males, and the males are not the ones.
A fair majority of them.
Yeah, and not the males are not really the ones that are actually doing the putting the stuff away and ironing it and all that kind of stuff.
Not generally.
So to them, it's just a space, right? Whereas I think a female architect would think more about what's going to go in that space because she's going to be the one with the kids, with the husband, trying to make sure everything is organized. So you
think that...
It's very frustrating when you get a plan that does not work.
There is a limiting factor of the foresight depending on who the design professional is. You think that's... That has a lot to do with it because, to be very honest, I've seen a fair share of plans in my life before construction and post. And there is very few plans, I can tell you, were considered and showed illustrations of how closets are designed in the home packages.
Well, I don't know. So you talked more about the everyday, the basic, the, you know, when it comes to that type of home and design and all that good stuff. I think the designers are just leaving the space and showing you just, you know, this wall and this wall. You can use these two walls. And then they're letting the contractor go after that. And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of contractors that are building their closets for the clients, right? But I would say
This is in scope. I've seen a lot of time where... If you just show me, Alexander, if you just show me a room,
Mm-hmm.
6 by 10 foot deep, and say walk-in closet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at a plan. There's nothing else in that room.
Right.
What am I pricing? What am I pricing?
Well, that's what. So basically, when the architect is doing that design, they're just showing you the walls that you can use.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the contractor is taking it on, the contractor is now either saying, "I'm leaving that just so you know for the client." They're saying to the client, "I'm just doing a shelf and a rod in this space. This is how much it'll cost." And then they said, but I want an upgraded closet. Either you're going to have a contractor that is going to call an actual storage designer who has a closet or a closet company, mm-hmm. right, who is going to design it and give them a quote. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it either through the contractor and the contractor's doing it through the client, or they're telling the client, by the way, call this person.
Call this person.
They'll mm-hmm. deal with the closet.
This is outside my contract.
Yeah, after I build the closet, whatever. Or sometimes the contractors are taking it on and saying, okay, you want a closet, what do you want in it? And they're providing the closet for the the client.
I would say from the construction standpoint, this construction end, it's probably cleaner and less fussy because, again, I look at construction the way of you look at how you look at trades and broken down. If I don't build closets every day, why would I want to take on a closet?
I agree.
I don't want to take on a closet.
It's kind of like you don't want to build the kitchen, so you're going to get a kitchen person
exactly.
to do the kitchen.
You know, so yes. you if you know you build the walls, roof, the plaster finishes, all that good stuff, tiling, all that, and you're great at that, do that. Leave that 8 by 10 space or whatever and say, hey, I tell you what, this space here, I'm going to provide the general space. Here's a number for a closet specialist. Mm-hmm. You can go find a closet specialist, but I'm not going to attempt to be the closet specialist for your closet
that's
if it's not already been designed.
Yeah, and that's somewhat of one of my pet peeves because I've come into homes after a closet has been built by whoever.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're looking at it like...
And I'm trying to figure out what?
No, what would it take?
Yeah, we have to go to break. I just want to still mention again our three sponsors today. Yeah. We have Art Development, which is the fiberglass... Rebar.
Yeah.
We have CBS Bahamas Pro Store on Robinson Road, which is, if you haven't been there, you got to go. It's a great store to go to. And then we have ARM
Caribbean
Refrigeration and Air Conditioning.
Yeah. Thank you. We'll be back after the break.
When you're building renovation projects are go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
Hey, y'all ever the new fiber steel on the market?
Yeah.
It don't rust.
Gone are the days of cracking spoils. That is very easy to install. Fiber steel is here to stay. No more repairing that break up wall. FRP's the new steel in town. No salty air would ever break down. Rust or corrosion, that's in the past. In the Bahamas, now we're built to last. Say goodbye to rust forever, man. Goodbye to corrosion by the ocean, man. Say goodbye to rust forever. No rust, no corrosion. Fiber steel in our future, brother, man. FRP's in our future.
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Say goodbye to Russ forever.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines. Maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Nailed It on Guardian FM 96.9. And we're having very, very great conversation with Alexandra from Closets Etc. and Debbie Deal, who is telling us about some wonderful closets that have walk-in, but they only reach in or step in.
I feel very bad because I get closets, I get drawings all the time, and I look at it, and it's been drawn by whoever drew it, right? And it has a measurement of, let's say, 3'6" or something like that by 6 feet. The door opens in, and then it has written in it, walk-in closet. Well, it's really not a walk-in closet because you can walk in the closet, but you're only going to have clothes hanging on the one side. So it's kind of like just walking into a reach-in closet and dividing up the space.
But let's talk about, does a walk-in closet by definition have to have hanging on both sides to be a walk-in closet?
No, but it needs to have enough space for you to be able to walk in the space and do stuff in it. Mm. So let me give you an example.
It can't be a space that you have to...
No, you shouldn't be.
Oh, and there are many of them.
Well, that's what I would like. I'm going to give you an example. I went into a house in a gated community to go see a bunch of closets. And one of the closets I walked into, I can't get it out of my head. I can literally visualize it right now. I opened the door and I was like, what is this? It was 3 feet wide. So the door's on the 3 foot wall. Okay?
Wow.
You guys ready now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then it's 10 feet long.
What?
Wow, that's scary.
And so they were like, yeah, so we'd like to use this whole wall and then back and then back there. And I go, pardon you? I said, do you know that you can't use this 10-foot wall?
You can't get in it if
and
you put
I
something there.
Use
the door is 30 inches and the wall is 36. So
I opened the tape measure. I put the tape measure out. I showed the 22 inches. And I said, if I put hanging on this 10-foot wall, you can't access anything
can't get
or get to anything. I said, the only wall I can use is that same 3-foot wall that you're going
to
have to walk 10,
to
9 feet
up.
Before you can get to
wow.
it. Why would you do that? So then I went into the bed, like not into the bedroom, but I went into that long wall and I said, why don't you tell your contractor or somebody, close this door and let's open it on the 10-foot
side. Yeah. And give you a decent reach in. It won't be a walk in.
Yeah.
But at least be a decent
reach in.
Yeah.
I didn't get the job, but all I'm saying is, why was that closet even designed?
3 feet by 10 foot.
That made no sense.
No.
It was not functional. It doesn't serve any purpose. There's nothing you can do other than putting shelving on the wall. And even then, that's a tight space.
Yeah.
And why would you need 10 feet worth of shelving?
See, there is something here, too, is that you could actually draw your own plans if your house is under, I think, 3,500 square feet and single story. You could draw your own plans. If you check with the Ministry of Works, you can.
I'm not sure you can.
You can.
Individual can. I think
technicians
can.
No, but you could if you have the talent, if you have a computer-generated program, you can actually do it and submit it. And what happens a lot of times is, what would you call them? Not the architect, but
the technician.
A technician will draw the plan, and a technician is a person who is working towards becoming an architect and may not know all of the things that need to be done and may be guided by the client who knows less than they do because the client is probably not an architect.
The problem.
Right?
Probably not an architect.
So that's why I'm saying oftentimes you get plans that are done like that.
Mm.
And it's everybody's fault, nobody's fault.
The blind
fault.
Leading the blind.
Yes. Yes.
This
so,
particular house
ignorance is bliss.
Is behind gates.
Wow.
This house could not have been designed by anybody other than an actual architect.
Yeah. Especially if it's in gated. They have guidelines, they have a review board, they have to look at those things, so it would have to be, an architect. But at the same time, that's an interesting comment because it doesn't mean that an architect is the closet design professional.
True, and that's one of the things in...
But they must be a space professional as an architect.
You would think so, but
yeah.
I don't think so. In my opinion, I don't think so. I see too many plans that don't make a lot of sense, and while I did not go to school to be an architect, I would not have designed it the way they designed
and,
it.
And I find and it interesting. It's
understanding space.
Yeah, and I find it interesting that the architectural community is taking a shellacking, and they've been quiet. And I know that if one or two of them are listening because they're my friends. But we've seen, see, the contractors get to see it, you know. A lot of persons don't appreciate the fact that you could draw it, but we get to try and build it. And right. That's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah. Well, I was given a plan. This is an example. I was mm-hmm. given a plan. And so the closet, which is a reach-in, mm-hmm. but maybe they're calling it a walk-in. I'm not sure. But the closet backs onto the bathroom, mm-hmm. right? So the closet's 5'4" mm-hmm. and then 3 feet.
Odd size.
Right? Not a good size.
No.
But, okay, so I'm supposed to be designing the closet and then in the bathroom, where the back of that 5'4" wall is now the vanity of the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the door is opening in.
To the bathroom and the closet?
We're now in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So the bathroom door is opening into this, to that 5'4" wall.
Mm-hmm.
You only got 22 inches of depth there.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the vanity is supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
The bathroom now goes 8 feet. You have your toilet in front of the door,
mm-hmm.
and then you have your tub. So my toilet is protruding out in front of my vanity because the vanity has been designed to be the full 5'4". So now if I design this, I either have to do an open shelving space next to the toilet so mm-hmm. that you could still have the storage, but now it's open because you're going to have to put baskets with your extra toilet paper or something. Yeah, you can't put doors because the doors now are going to hit the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, not even hit the toilet. You can't open the doors.
No.
Right? And then so then underneath the sink, you have your doors. But if we had moved that 5'4" wall back into the closet by that 1 foot that you just made the closet three feet deep,
mm-hmm.
now between the toilet and the vanity,
you have enough space.
I would have 1 foot.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, I might be able to, not saying I can, I might be able to put doors there for you to be able to access the space. But the point is, it's now giving you a little bit more storage. So whoever designed it, how did you not know that the toilet is blocking the vanity?
Yeah, I think it just goes to show that I only have to assume, based on that we don't have true design professionals designing these spaces. We have a person that has to be not qualified doing
We're not on the show to talk
signed off
talk bad about architects yeah. or
no, we're not
anything
here
like
to do that.
But what one thing you do have to understand, anybody listening, is that we as the contractor get this drawing, whoever did this drawing, that does not work. And then at the end of the day,
we have to solve the problem.
We either have to build it and it doesn't work, and then the client is going to be annoyed
with us.
Or we guide them as to how the drawing can actually be adjusted, as mm-hmm. Alexandra does,
yeah.
to make sure these things do work.
Yeah.
But it's not our responsibility to do that.
Yeah.
But a good contractor wants to make sure that the homeowner will enjoy the home, it'll be functional,
yeah.
and they're going to be happy, rather than sucking their teeth every time they walk in the closet or try to do mm-hmm. something. Because that's we're trying to build relationships here,
mm-hmm.
not break them down.
Yeah, the same thing that I want to do. I love seeing my customers and my clients happy with their spaces, mm-hmm. and I want the space to be functional. So I'm going to always advise, this is the better way to make this more functional. You may want it this way, but that's not going to function properly. And let me explain to you why.
Yeah.
And
Alexandra, we were talking earlier, and you mentioned something that I wanted to kind of take 2 minutes and talk about. When you come in a home, entry door, and you mentioned it, we don't have robe closets anymore. So what is a design solution that we could consider that does not necessarily involve a robe closet, but some kind of feature or element that we can add that's cost effective that can provide similar solutions?
Depending on your space, obviously, I would hope you have enough space to do it, but you can build a cabinet, a shoe cabinet. The shoe cabinet doesn't have to be that deep because it's only for shoes.
Yeah.
If you're the type of person that likes to take your shoes off before
you're
at the door.
Oh, it could be a bench.
That was my next design choice.
Sorry, I didn't mean to steal that.
The next thing I was going to say, or you could have a bench mm-hmm. that has drawers or baskets, like pull-out baskets, mm-hmm. or they could have the tilt out that mm-hmm. has the slots with the shoes. And so therefore you are able to sit down mm-hmm. and put on your shoe as well as store your shoes before you leave your house. Then you can even do like a floating shelf with hooks underneath. So if you're the type of person that wants your kids to come home and put their backpack out, you know, right there mm-hmm. and they're hanging their backpack up, you're able to use the shelf to put your keys and whatever miscellaneous that mm-hmm. you might like to leave at your front door, things like that. So I think it really depends on how you use your front entrance, because mm-hmm. a lot of people don't even use their front door. Technically, they're using their garage door or their laundry room door mm-hmm. or the side door that is attached to their kitchen or something of that nature. And so if that's your main point of entry, then you have to utilize that space to mm-hmm. be your functional thing. And I just did a little shoe cap. And I mean, they use their side door, which mm-hmm. is walks into their More laundry room. And I just built a little tiny little shoe shelf unit because mm-hmm. before the shoes were either on the floor or on the little store bought shelf. Two little hooks for the kids' backpacks, and boom.
Well, I cannot believe that we are fresh out of time. It has been a wonderful, wonderful show. We want to thank Alexandra from Closets, Etc. I talk with shoes so much. Closets, Etc. And we encourage persons to reach out to you. Do you have a contact number they can reach you on?
Sure. My phone number is 376-2328. I'm also on Instagram, so you can find me at ETC Closets, because that's how you find me on Instagram. Facebook, I'm Closets, Etc. Mm-hmm. And when I say Closets, Etc., it's spelled out.
It's spelled out, Etc., not ETC.
Not ETC, okay. Unfortunately. And so when you find me on social media, you can see a lot of my stuff and you contact me through there as
awesome.
Well.
Mm-hmm. And once again, this has been a great show. Thank you so much, Debbie. I think, you know, I feel very excited that we shared a lot of information that homeowners can enjoy.
Yes.
And we look forward to connecting with everyone again next week on Nailed It.